You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I see. The Texans ought to, they really need to suspend their Twitter account.
Oh, no. What do they do now? They tell you to go get your day after they won freebies?
No, the football feeling thing that they do.
That's not a great slogan.
It's that football feeling. Is sweet victory against the Titans. Fans like yourself are the reason our game day atmosphere is so electric, and we hope you'll join us for more home games this season. No. Because of our win today, you've unlocked a limited time ticket offer.
Come see the Jets.
Wednesday, November 24th at 11:59. If you haven't picked up seats to our Salute to Service game presented by Bud Light on Sundays, here's your chance so you can experience that football feeling on game day with us. The Texans don't give anybody that football feeling, okay? Stop with that football feeling.
That football feeling.
The football feeling.
No. We finally played football. Now come see some football.
So here's the deal. Well, yeah, So
looking at our friend SimpleSeats.com.
Yeah.
Sunday versus the Jets, you can get into the building for $19.
So that's cheaper than face value.
Yeah. The fifth, when they take on the Colts, $15.
I kind of would want to see Jonathan Taylor in person.
Seahawks, Chargers, and Titans are also $19 just to get in the building.
Well, that'll go down.
Oh, yeah.
The Titans are the last game of the year. I mean, there are some Titans fans here, so maybe.
That might be the most expensive ticket because you'll know exactly where they're picking. You know, you'll be rooting for an L that week. How many more wins do they have? Like, are they gonna royally screw this up?
They got the Jets.
Okay, that's a potential win.
Well, yeah, no, that's a of course that is.
Mormon Mahomes will be back.
So,
and they got the Jags left on the schedule as a potential win.
Yeah.
They're not getting two more wins, are they? Four wins, you're damn near picking 10th.
At the Jags will be tougher. They play good defense at home. That will be tougher. But, I got potentially four wins. Listen,
they're picking fourth right now because the win yesterday had Jacksonville and New York jump them.
Right.
Then there's three teams with three wins right behind them. Seattle, Chicago, and New York. The Giants aren't winning a whole bunch of more games. Chicago's, I'm assuming, very close to firing their coach, and their quarterback's hurt now. And then Seattle's falling apart. I mean, they are in absolute free fall. And by the way, Seattle and Chicago don't even have their own picks. Both those are going to New York, one to the Jets, one to the Giants. I mean, four wins.
The Dolphins don't have their own pick.
Right, that one's going to Philly.
Yeah, they're starting to win, though, like dumbasses. Listen, it's so stupid. Stop winning. So is it time? Is it Davis Mills time?
Well, that would be.
No. What did Tyrod throw for, 107 yards?
How about stop playing the Titans in the rain? And then maybe the other team can get something going on offense.
It's just unbelievable. Stop already. They cannot keep winning like this. This is the worst thing that happened. Everybody, oh, look at us. We got that football feeling. We won. Did you see Johnny Harris on the sideline after the, which interception? I think it was the Desmond, maybe it was the Desmond King interception, his second interception. Or maybe it was the Mitchell interception. I forget which one. But he ran by, I think it was the King. He ran over and actually almost ran into Johnny Harris. And Johnny Harris is pumping his fist like, oh my God, awesome, 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 awesome. I was like, Johnny, this is the worst thing that could happen. What are you doing? This is the worst thing that can happen. Let them go down and score. And the Texans look like they actually tried. They go home a loser. They're going to get a top. They're going to get the Kenny Pickett pick. What are you doing? Don't be stupid and win football games.
That's the tough part, is Nick Caserio could set them up with as little talent as possible. Those 46 cats that are active on game day, they ain't trying to lose.
I know.
They're out there trying to win.
Well, why can't they be more like the University of Texas and just open up a can of quit? Like Florida. Why do they have to be out there like trying for Coach Cully?
Because
he loves to be around them.
This is the reverse of what the might have this mercenary theory. Like, at some point, everybody wants to just take care of themselves and get their money. It's the mercenary theory. The biggest mercenary on the team is Laremy Tunsil. He does not care. He just wants his money.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is the reverse of the mercenary theory, whereas you have a bunch of guys on one-year deals trying to get paid. Desmond King probably made millions of dollars yesterday. Some defense is going to watch it, that tape,
yeah,
and they're going to be like, well, this guy can play for us. He's making $2 million this year. Well, if he makes $4 million next year for another team,
what
he doubles
say?
His income.
They say he hadn't had an interception in 3 years, and he had two yesterday. He's like, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah. Yeah.
Desmond King was actually a pretty good signing. He was actually
tough part is he's gone at the end of the year. 1 year, $2 million deal. I mean, he'll go somewhere else.
No. Everybody. Well, hopefully, which is why this is not a rebuild. This is just, I don't know, a shuffling. That's all it is. It's
a
shuffle.
No, they're still tearing the thing down.
No.
They're still tearing it down, man. Still got to get rid of a bunch of stuff.
When does the rebuild start? Good Lord.
The moment Deshaun's traded, that's when the rebuild actually starts.
You're probably right, because then you're going to get all those picks.
Because even one draft, you know, right now you have one first rounder for next year. One first rounder and one second rounder is not going to make a tremendous amount of difference. Now, they have a little bit of extra in those middle rounds. They have like an extra fourth and something like that. But you have maybe three first rounders after the Deshaun trade. That's when the rebuild happens.
Yeah.
That's when it starts. That's when you can start building some hope, you know, and you're not worried about the football feeling of, you know, barely playing football. You start selling hope then. That's when it's like, okay, we can put three cats on the season tickets that we send out that we know are going to be pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Or at least people will be excited to
watch
each
week. I would
have liked
to have seen some undrafted free agents this year, though, just to see if they could play.
That's the toughest part about having so many of these veterans.
Yeah.
Is I know a lot of these guys aren't any good.
Camu Grugier's not going to be here. Neville Hewitt's not going to be here. They're just not. Malik Collins isn't going to be here. You got to find guys that are going to be here.
The toughest part is the running back spot. You should have one veteran, and the rest should be guys who have basically never gotten a chance.
Yeah.
Like that cat in Cleveland, D'Ernest Johnson.
Right.
Like that's you should have
D'Ernest Johnson. Philip Lindsay was found that way. There's all kinds of guys that are found that way.
John, one of the best players in the history of this organization is an undrafted free agent. Arian Foster was found that way.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Rick Smith brought him in, had him in camp, and then boom, next thing you know. I'm not saying you find an Arian Foster, but my God, you find a guy that can contribute with another running back down the road. Now, obviously, you would need to be worried about running back if maybe you just drafted Jonathan Taylor instead of Ross Blacklock. You know, Ross Blacklock goes 40th overall. You know, he had a sack at the exact moment Jonathan Taylor scored his fifth touchdown yesterday.
Well, there you go.
So, I mean, how many sacks does Jonathan Taylor have this year?
None.
Yeah, exactly.
Fifth touchdown. Jonathan Taylor's not good enough for you.
Thanks, Bill O'Brien. Thanks.
That was that dumbass. Who's going to be the LSU head coach?
No. Don't put that on yourself. You don't want to work. You don't want to suffer through that.
I will never watch another game if Bill O'Brien is going to be the head coach. That is just the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. That is the worst thing. But honestly, you could make, if I'm them, you could make an argument that it's time to see if Davis Mills can play again. He sat for a couple of weeks now. We screwed up in one. Now let's go put Davis Mills back in there and see if we can't, you know what, get back on track.
Fire the tank back up. Turn the tank around.
That's right.
Okay, the tank was going the wrong direction after yesterday. Turn it back around. Get Cully back up there, talk about turnovers and penalties, you know. Get a couple more guys holding. That's the problem. They benched a bunch of the bad players. No more Lonnie Johnson pass interferences. No more Max Sharping holdings.
Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Get the bad guys back out there. What are you guys trying to do here? What is wrong with you?
No more procedural penalties because Davis Mills doesn't know how to line the offense up.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what we need. We need Laremy Tunsil jumping off sides all the time. How many penalties did they have yesterday? Not nearly enough. They have been so good at getting penalties at the most opportune times to destroy drives.
7 for 50 yards.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
And 5 turnovers.
And one of them...
190 total yards offensively. What a bleep show that is. That is the worst football ever. And you win. You win going away from a good football team. Just terrible. Just terrible. Dumbasses.
They somehow did not find a way to lose with 5. five turnovers that they got, like they did the previous game.
Against the Dolphins.
10 turnovers in two games, and they're 1-1 in those two games.
And last year, they were the worst, one of the worst turnover teams in NFL history. In NFL history.
You got to be a little surprised with the defense, because I expected Lovie Smith to come in and basically be a dinosaur NFL.
No, I didn't. First of all, anything would have been better than what they were last year.
That's a great point.
Okay. That was just the worst. That was the worst defense ever. They did address it with a lot of free agents. You know what? But it's not like they're good, though. Look at the scores. They give up a lot of 31, 40, 38, 30.
Yep, yeah.
They give up a lot of points. They just have gotten well, let's not forget, they had Tua and Tannehill the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So, I mean, those guys, it just seems like, did it not seem like the Tannehill just went, F it.
That's a great hallmark of, like, this Texans organization. Like, when they've been good, typically they've dodged good quarterbacks or they've or that. You know,
when they play good quarterbacks, guess what happens? They get it handed to them.
Is there a good one coming this Sunday? Zach Wilson, maybe?
Oh, no.
No?
No.
So they're going to win this Sunday? They're going to put two wins together in a row?
I mean, that's awful. So guess what? They could have two wins. Not only three wins. And what was the under-over? Was it four?
The total was 4.5 at the beginning of
the season. They're threatening that under-over now. They're really threatening it.
They dropped to 1.5 2 weeks ago.
It was four. They were 4-13. I think four wins was there.
There was some
preseason
guy watching this team after week 8. It was like counting his money on his under bet. Yeah. Now he's all of a sudden he's like, uh-oh.
Oh, no. When you got the under bet and they beat Tennessee, that was a sure loss.
Mm-hmm.
At Tennessee, you're like, what the bleep? I gotta sweat this thing.
Jets, Jaguars, Titans maybe already knowing their playoff position to finish the season. I'm not also sure that the Seahawks might not be in pack-it-in quit mode. John, there's four more. Five-win Texans.
Dumbasses are going to screw this up and get the 10th pick. What a bunch of bleep-ups. All right. 8-9-13 ESPN 97.5 still ahead. Clayton Toon is going to join us here on ESPN 97. That's the bottom of the hour, so don't you go anywhere. You listen to the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. The conversation continues on The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 703-780-3776. You want to talk about this Carlos Correa thing? Carlos Correa last week, for whatever reason on a podcast, I think Carlos... Word I got was Carlos. He's like, I didn't think anybody would hear it. It just didn't. No one. You don't understand, Carlos. It was in Spanish. It was on a podcast, and he said that Derek Jeter didn't deserve any of his 5 gold gloves.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh,
yes. You didn't see that
last week? I mean, that's just kind of like it's a worthwhile shot. It's not like the cleanest shot. Like all of them.
None of them.
None of them.
He said. Ninguno.
Well?
He didn't deserve anyone. No mereció ningún. Derek Jeter. Listen, and Carlos is out there allegedly for the Yankees, maybe. He's not going to endear himself to Yankee fan that way. Maybe he will endear himself to Cashman, because Cashman and Jeter had issues about Jeter playing shortstop. One of the things about Jeter was that, and Cashman admitted, he said he had to increase his range because he didn't get to a lot of balls. He didn't miss them when he got to them, but he didn't get to a lot of balls.
He did win all 5 gold gloves 30 or older, including one at the age of 36.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what the competition was then either, by the way. Right now, the shortstop competition is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic in the league.
When you got guys that can't even hit that play really good defense.
Right.
Angelton Simmons is a good example. He used to play with the Angels.
And, you know, from Lindor. And I mean, it's just Kurt Seager. I mean, it's just awesome. Correa is spectacular. He finally got his due. But for whatever reason, he took the shot at Jeter for no reason at all. Jeter didn't understand it either.
A couple of weeks ago, Carlos Correa of the Astros had mentioned that you weren't deserving of your Gold Gloves.
Yeah.
I was wondering what you thought about that. And you know,
I didn't think much about it. I don't know how my name came up. So my Spanish is not that good. I still haven't seen it. I don't know how my name was brought up, but it doesn't even warrant a response. I mean, I can go in a lot of different directions than I want.
It doesn't even warrant a response. You know what? Listen, Red Sox fans will tell you that Jeter's the most overrated player in baseball history. Derek Jeter is the legend. Derek Jeter was a great, great player. He's the captain. He came up with clutch hit after clutch hit after clutch hit. His defense was good. It was good. There is the knock that he didn't get to balls. He just didn't. And you know what? And I could certainly see where others are. Carlos gets to everything. Carlos is unbelievable. Derek Jeter could not make half those plays. Not half. He couldn't make a tenth of the plays that Carlos makes in the hole. I mean, Carlos go in the hole and whirling and firing with that arm. You know, Jeter just couldn't do that. I mean, there's a couple of plays where Jeter is, you know, jumped up and threw and got him out. It was probably a catcher that he threw out. It might have been you, Cody. He threw out. Okay, running the first.
Big Poppy.
I mean, whatever the case may be, Carlos is a force. Carlos is a beast. But you just don't say that.
Well, would you agree with the sentiment that the voting now for basically all the baseball awards, there's a lot more information and you see guys play a lot more? Whereas, like, even as recently as 10, 12 years ago, there was still a lot of reputation-based conversation around baseball. Like, it was still very guarded, and you had to play the game right, and you had to talk to the right guys in the media, or the media didn't like you, things like that. Like, even as recently as like 10 years ago, it's still very much reputation-based.
Absolutely.
That's how Jeter gets some of the stuff that maybe if you like go back and you're like, oh, okay, let's apply modern data to Jeter's Gold Gloves, and it's like, well, it actually should have been this guy or this or that. Like, there's just more information now.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. With WAR plus and plus WAR or whatever it is. And
people care about on base percentage.
It's
slugging.
The nerd factor in baseball now is kicked up a millionfold.
I mean, this
with all these new E-plus.
Love FIP.
And all of the fielding statistics and all of this. I mean, it's
zone
just,
rating. That's another one.
Just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. Who was it? Yeah, I think you guys had him on the show. He wrote for The Athletic that said he was looking at the 25 top free agents, and he said Yuli was a bad first baseman, and Yuli ended up winning the Gold Glove. No, you didn't have him on your show then.
No,
Killer Bees must have had him on.
Yeah.
But the Killer Bees had him on. And I said, well, ask him about saying that Yuli, at the day that Yuli won the Gold Glove, or the next day they had him on, ask him why he said Yuli was a bad first baseman. And he said, we couldn't ask him. It was not allowed. Not allowed to ask him that. Now there's so much, you're right, there's so much information. Jeter probably won on reputation.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I bet if we went back on awards, there's like a nasty amount of reputation wins.
Yeah. Yes. That guy's, he's a great Maddox. Maddox won every year. Guys could have been much better than Maddox, but Maddox won the Gold Glove every year because he was he was the professor. Apparently Justin Verlander turned down a Yankees offer. That's the word that came out this weekend.
1 year, $25 million?
1 year, $25 million, when the Astros gave him now listen, this is risky business. A guy that you gave $66 million to that picked six innings for you. This is risky business, and so I got to give Jim Crane credit. You know what? He said a player option. Now, the player option could be a pain in the ass. It could be horrible, or it could be horrible that Justin Verlander is great and he's going to leave after a year because it's only $25 million. Maybe he'll get more somewhere else on a 2 or 3 year deal at much more because dude says he wants to keep on pitching. So either way, it could bite the Astros.
I mean, worst case scenario, you pay a guy for six innings for $100 million over 4 years. That's like the absolute worst case scenario. But if he comes back and he pitches, 2022, it's not going to be like, take 2019 and 2018, get that out of your brain. He's not doing that. Okay, because he's not going to pitch that much. He's not going to be that guy. But even you go through Verlander's career, like his worst year is like a 4.26 ERA. Well, he's not going to be that. If you gave me 3.5 ERA from Justin Verlander, like 27 starts, like that's a really good year. Probably worth the money. This is going to be 27 really good starts, and then have him ready for the playoffs. Because this again, coming off Tommy John, you got to manage him right. You can't let him go out there because he's going to want to. You can't let him go out there and be workhorse Verlander. So you got to manage him right to make sure that he's A, ready for the playoffs, and B, on the off chance you get the you get him for that player option, he's ready for that season too.
Which goes back to, I honestly think because they did it this year, there's a possibility to go a 6-man rotation.
Well, they've got what, 8 guys for 5 spots?
Yeah. Well, they've got 7 guys for 5 spots now.
And then if you move Javier back to starter, that's 8. Yeah.
No, Javier's the 7.
Verlander, McCullers, Fromber, Urquidy, Garcia, Odorizzi, Javier.
That's 7.
7.
Yeah.
I'm missing somebody? I feel like I'm missing somebody.
No, that's it. That's the 7. 7 guys for, and Javier, sorry, buddy. You got to go back. What the bleep? I can't get in. Odorizzi is a pain in the locker room. He will politic, and he will be PO'd, and I don't know that you want that in the locker room if he's not starting. But you got fewer innings for McCullers. You got fewer innings for Verlander. I don't know that you want fewer innings for Fromber, Urquidy, and Garcia. But you know what? Urquidy, Garcia, they're learning along the way. Fromber's the one. I don't know if I want Lance McCullers every 5th day because, you know what? At the end of the year, just like this year, there's a good chance he's going to be hurt. Verlander, you got to limit his innings. I think it makes sense, a 6-man rotation. I think it makes a lot of sense. I know you don't want, ideally, would you rather have, do you want Odorizzi? Oh, we got him coming up. Yeah, we got to take a break because we got Clayton Tune. But I'm just saying, I just think that it would make a lot of sense, a 6-man mm-hmm. rotation. 927 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Clayton Tune's going to join us on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN, 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got Dana on every week here talking about, and a lot of times we talk about this guy, and he certainly has turned a corner, and he is playing some great football. He has carried them into 10 straight wins at times when they didn't have any running game. Clayton Tune has certainly improved drastically as the season has progressed, and he is one of the top quarterbacks in the conference now, and he is joining us right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Clayton, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Doing great, man. So the beginning of the season, obviously the Texas Tech game and then the hamstring injury, and it's a little slow to come back. Is there a point in this season where you feel like it was a little slow coming back? You had, Grambling, and then you had Navy, and that wasn't that great in the first half. Is there any point where it started to click for you? Because you certainly have taken off in this last month and a half or so of this football season.
Right. I think after the Tech game, there was just kind of a moment where we kind of rallied together as a team. And we realized that all of our goals were still ahead of us, and that that game really meant nothing, as far as what we wanted to accomplish conference-wise. So we just kind of rallied together and realized that, we can still achieve our goals. And, I made it a point to really grind and to really get better at the things that I, made mistakes on in that game. And I think the turning point, was the Rice game. We went out and played really well. I thought I played well on offense, and the rest of the guys played well. Obviously I kind of tweaked my hamstring in that game, and I had to sit out, for most of the Grambling game. But I think, from that Rice game on is when it really clicked. And, you know, the offense started to fire on all cylinders. And, you know, there's been ups and downs this season offensively, but I think, you know, we're starting to play some of our best ball, and I think that's when it turns, that Rice game.
Clayton, take us inside, you know, the 10 straight wins when you guys get this going, as you see them continue to pile up. What's the conversation like? What's the messaging like from not only the head coach to you guys, but from you to the offense about, hey, yeah, we took care of business here, but we got the next one. How do you not let the, you know, yourself get content with this success you guys have had for 10 straight?
Just continue to work. You know, Coach Holgerson's done a great job of this is his message every week to us is, you know, when we're up, we don't coast. When we're down, we don't panic. And when we're even, we just execute and play. And that's kind of, we've hung our hat on those words and kind of lived by it and played by it. So we have good leadership from Coach Holgerson. And then we have, you know, captains on the team that kind of relay the message to the rest of the group. And, you know, everyone's kind of bought in and on board with the program. And, you know, when we win, we put it behind us and we focus on the next task, the next practice, the next meeting, and the next game. And so we're just taking it one game at a time, and we're going to try and stack as many wins as we can. So that's been the message from Coach Holgerson and the rest of the guys.
Clayton, tune with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You had a little bit of an interception bugaboo last year, the year before, 24-19, which isn't good. And then you had, of course, the start of the season. But you went a five-game stretch, Tulane to Temple, of 14 touchdowns and no interceptions. What clicked? What are you cognizant of that? And now last game you had a couple. One was a tough one, but bounced off a guy. But how cognizant were you of not? Or did you change something at all in there?
No. I mean, you don't want to play the game, you know, thinking, all right, well, I can't make a mistake. I can't throw an interception. That's no way to play the game. Because then you're just too tentative and you're too worried about making a mistake. But I think it's just, you know, I cleared up some things in my mind as far as progressions and reads go. You know, I think there was a little bit of confusion early on, but I cleared it up in my mind, and something I've done is just envisioned, you know, before the game, going through my reads and putting the ball in play to my receivers, and you know, just being able to decipher, you know, when I can make certain throws and when I can't, and what windows I can fit it into, and whatnot. You know, I had a pretty good streak going. You know, and I'm looking to start a new one after this week.
Clayton Tune with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So since SMU, I mean, you guys have been on a collision course with Cincinnati. You've been able to overcome it. You went to USF, played good. Temple played well. Memphis, you got to get that job done. You got Connecticut still. But you guys, you can't tell me that you guys aren't, that there's no thought of Cincinnati right now, right?
Oh, no, there definitely is. You know, whenever we clinched that spot in the conference championship, you know, we pretty much knew it was going to be Cincinnati. There's definitely been talk about it. You know, everyone's excited about the opportunity. You know, like you said, we still have a game to play against UConn, which we're focused on right now. But, yeah, you know, there's definitely talk around the facility about playing Cincinnati. And, you know, I think as soon as the UConn game's over, we're going to get a jump on watching Cincinnati. I know they play East Carolina Friday, I believe. So I'm pretty sure, you know, everyone's on the team's going to be watching that game, scouting Cincinnati out.
Yeah, you're on the road, so you guys could all watch it together. Did you watch them Saturday against SMU?
I did, yes.
What'd you think?
They looked good, man. I thought they played really well. They do a lot of good things on both sides of the ball. But, you know, I don't think that was the best SMU on the field that day. You know, I think they had a couple guys out. You know, you can make excuses for them, but I just don't think SMU played that well. But Cincinnati looks really good. They do a lot of good things defensively, and I was kind of scouting them out, seeing what they do. And I'm excited to come up with a game plan to attack them in a couple weeks.
Clayton, I want to ask you about one of your teammates. You ever, I know he's dabbled a little bit, but you ever walk over to the defensive side and see if they could just throw you guys Marcus Jones for a couple more snaps on offense. I feel like that guy's pretty dynamic. You could get some use out of him over on the offensive side.
I know. That's you know, I used to tell him all the time, you know, I think he'd be a better offense player than he would defense. But, you know, early on in the season, we incorporated him in the offense. He actually caught a touchdown earlier this season against the Navy. But, you know, since then, he's been exclusively defense and special teams, which, you know, obviously he's succeeded at and done really well at. But we don't want to overuse him, you know. He plays a lot of snaps on both of those two sides of the ball. And I think if we overloaded him on offense, I think it would just be a little too much. But, yeah, I definitely try to sneak it in and, you know, hey, man, like, why don't you come over and play slot for us? You know, but he's not – No, I think he's happy where he's at. So.
No, absolutely. And you need him for returning kicks, winning football
games.
Yeah, got to have that. Yeah, I know you love to throw to Dell and Trahan. What was it about the Temple game that you made Seth Green? It seems like he had more targets in that game than he's had all season long. What was the deal that day?
I don't think it was, you know, I didn't specifically seek Seth out. It's just kind of the way it worked out. You know, he was, formationally that week, he was split out a lot as opposed to being attached to the line of scrimmage. So he was out in the slot a lot more than he normally is, and he just happened to, you know, be open on a lot more routes, and I just happened to find him. So I was really happy for him. I thought he played a great game. He had a big fourth down conversion catch, which was huge to extend the drive. You know, he's just a steady Eddie. You know, he always comes in. He's always about his business, about his work. So I was really happy to see him get some catches and some, you know, a touchdown too.
Clayton, after 19 and certainly after the very weird year last year, how good does this season feel for you and for the program as a whole? And if you guys were able to take care of business and win the conference, what would it mean for this team, these guys in the locker room, and the program?
Man, it's been awesome. It's been a long time coming. You know, when Coach Holgerson came here in 19, there was obviously some turnover and not everyone was bought in. It was just a real rocky, bumpy season. And then obviously last year was just uncanny. It was just weird. You know, we went a whole month in the season without playing a game just because of cancellation. So it was definitely weird for sure. But this season has been a culmination of, you know, all the hard work that we've put in and all the buy-in that we've had and all the, you know, lessons that we've learned from the last two seasons. So it's really good to see our hard work come to fruition, and yeah, everyone's just bought in, and it's great, man. I couldn't have had it any other way, wouldn't ask for it any other way, and I think the rest of the guys would say the same. So we're just excited to continue to play and, you know, go beat UConn and then, you know, play as hard as we can and try and win that conference championship. So we're right where we want to be and right where we envisioned we would be before the start of the season.
Clayton Toon with us here on ESPN 97.5. We didn't see Alton much in the second half. I don't know if we saw him at all in the second half. How's he doing?
Who, Alton?
Yeah.
He's good. I think he just got kind of a stinger.
Watch that dude from behind?
It's awesome, man. He makes my job easy. There was a run last week. It was a touchdown run where we handed the ball off to him and a linebacker blitzed the A-gap and came through untouched and had Alton dead to rights. And then he just makes a miss and then goes and scores. And I'm standing behind him like, no way that just happened. So it makes my job easier, and it's definitely fun to watch for sure.
That was an awesome move. Yeah. I mean, he just sidestepped him and then took off. That was a great move. Got to be a lot of fun watching that dude run. And it makes your job a lot easier. But I want to tell you, and I told Dana this, you had a couple of games in a row where you didn't have any running game at all, and you had to carry that team, and you did it. You put the team on your shoulder and got the job done and got those wins. So congratulations, man. Great job this year, Clayton. You're playing great football and continued success. Go beat UConn and then Cincinnati and show the conference who's boss.
That's right. Thank y'all.
All right, man.
Thanks for having me on, man.
We appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Clayton Tune with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. News of the Weird coming your way next. You haven't done News of the Weird yet.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, you're gonna find out. It gets a little uncomfortable sometimes. And it gets a little uncomfortable. Yeah. So let's talk right now about Pete's Fine Meats. Matter of fact, I think I'm going there after the show because you're not going to find any bacon that's better, period, exclamation point. I'm going to make my daughter's here. She wants me to go home, make her some bacon and eggs. So I said, okay, well, I got to go to Pete's and I got to pick up some bacon. And then I'll probably barbecue for the family today, so I'm going to get some steaks. My wife loves the prime fillets that he has. I like the ribeyes. That's just me. But I had the tomahawks. Ugh, it was unbelievable. But you always got to get the quail. It's the bacon-wrapped quail or bacon-wrapped shrimp with jalapenos. Unbelievable. The burgers, second to none. Best burgers I've ever had in my life. It's after thing after thing after thing after thing. He's got turkeys. You want a turkey this holiday season? Better call fast because he had over 200 orders last week, and he's probably got over 300 orders now, but he will have it. He will make it for you. It'll be perfect for you. You're looking for the best butcher in the city of Houston. This is not even arguable. Pete's Fine Meats. It's on Richmond at Chimney Rock. You will love Michael. He is the best. They're unbelievable how good they are. You're looking for meat this holiday season. There's one place to go. It's Pete's Fine Meats.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
NPR. The mullet is back, and it's for everybody. Do you want a mullet?
I just had, like, the longest stretch I've had without a haircut ever, and the hair was very annoying. So I don't think I'd do great with a mullet.
No? I would like a mullet.
Yeah,
I'm trying. I gotta get shorter on the sides and shorter on the top. But I'm gonna go for it.
It'd be a great look for you.
The kids are doing it. We're all gonna do it.
Sure.
Yeah, me and the kids. A woman swallowed an AirPod instead of a painkiller, and she recorded her audio from her stomach. If you swallowed an AirPod, Cody, what would it sound like in your stomach?
It would not sound good. You know, the type of garbage I eat on the weekend? I mean, it would not be good.
Mine would probably say more pasta. Give me more pasta. Or something to that effect. Where's the gravy? Why are you eating this Chinese today? I want Italian.
AirPods are not like, you can't like get them in the water. So at some point, those things are going to stop
probably
working.
Probably going to stop. And then it's going to be hard to relieve yourself of it. Don't you think? They're smaller,
does
though.
Does AppleCare cover that?
I don't.
I ate my AirPod. Can I get a new one?
Well,
what happens if you lose one of them?
How about the surgery I need to get it out? Are you going to cover that?
Oh, you don't think it'll pass?
That's what I'm saying. That's going to hurt. That's the part that's going to hurt. Okay? I don't want to pass an iPod. Or anything else, if you want to know the truth. The World Cup, the Qatar World Cup CEO, we're human rights trailblazers, says he.
And like taking them away? Is that what they're talking about?
Well, apparently.
Like the slave labor to build the giant, like they're trailblazers in like the wrong way, like taking human rights away.
His remarks contrast sharply with reports that 6,500 migrant workers have died in Qatar since the country won the bid to host the FIFA World Cup. It doesn't sound like, well, they are trailblazers, actually. No one's ever killed this many people. We're blazing a trail. Congratulations to you. Do you want to be a pizza delivery guy?
I thought about it before.
Do you?
Wouldn't be a bad deal, I don't feel
well,
like.
Well, it's not so great if you're the delivery person and an axe-wielding man demanding pizza is chasing you around. Oh, that happened in Winnipeg.
An axe-wielding man?
He had an axe, and he demanded the pizza.
Dude, Dude, you can have the pizza. I'll give you the breadsticks, everything. Don't hit me with an axe.
No, I don't need no axe. No, I don't want none of that. Colorado State Board has dropped sex offender as a term that it uses, calling it a negative label.
Oh.
We wouldn't want to be offensive to the sex offenders now, would the rapists now, would we? We wouldn't want to offend them with something like sex offender.
Well, I mean, did they replace it with a different term?
Well, let's see what they replaced it with. About proper or offensive in some manner for me to refer to that man who raped me as a sex offender. Oh, I
don't know that there's not really a good pivot away from sex offender that makes sense.
I just don't know. If you rape someone, I don't think you should be offended by anything anyone calls you. I'm just saying.
Agreed.
I think you lose that right.
They're going
to
call...
To be offended.
They're going to change murderers to life takers?
Something to that effect. Can't we just forget it? No, we can't forget it! Afghanistan. The Taliban has unveiled new rules banning women from TV dramas. No women in your TV shows.
Oh, my gosh. They need to send some telenovelas to them. They'll change their mind.
Oh, no.
They'll change their mind real fast.
No, they won't. It just seems to me that they would not be down with Mexican weather women or Mexican novellas. No, it just seems to me that doesn't fit with the Taliban. California police are looking for 80 suspects in a flash mob department store robbery.
Oh,
how awesome. What a great idea. 80 of us go in there as a flash mob and we just start taking stuff. What are you going to do? I mean, that is a great, great idea.
I'm glad flash mobs aren't a big thing anymore.
No.
Those things are annoying.
They're really annoying for the department store that got ripped off from everything. Apparently, Mike Tyson says he died on his first trip on psychedelic toad venom.
Oh, God.
Apparently, he has done it 50 times since. And we wonder why Mike has a face tattoo.
Psychedelic toad venom.
Apparently, you lick the toad.
Oh, my gosh.
You lick the toad.
I'm out on an
acid trip.
I'm so out. There's a lot of different ways to get drugs, but toad licking is not the way I'm going to get
no,
drugs.
No, I'm not. No, I don't want to lick it. Although they say it's a pretty good high. Cody.
I'll pass.
And finally, a woman in Chennai buried her husband alive in their backyard to help him attain immortality. Do you want to be immortal and have your... Well, you don't have a wife. Who's going to bury you in your backyard?
I also have a pool in the backyard, so there's not a lot of space to be burying me.
You have a pool back there?
Just throw me in the pool. I'll achieve immortality that way.
Drown you in the pool so you can achieve immortality.
Oh, man. Some people.
Yeah. I don't know that that's going to work.
Have they taken some toad venom?
I don't want to be married to her. I think she... I don't think that was her intent.
Yeah.
9:55, we're done. Charlie next. Is Charlie here this week? Charlie's here on a 3-day week. What? Are you sure about that? Right now, we're talking about MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Now, I want to tell you something. This morning when I found out that Ohio State's just a 7.5-point favorite over Michigan, jumped on it. Get to MyBookie right now. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Get on there and put everything that you deposit on Ohio State minus 7.5 points against Michigan, because that is a ridiculous line. It's almost too ridiculous. Actually, bet the other way because it's just too ridiculous to believe. If it's too hard to believe, then it's not believable. So if you're looking for the best bets, but you want to play, win, and get paid, you want to double your initial deposit or any deposit. If you've been on there, you still deposit it right now at mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975, and they'll match up to $1,000. That's happening right now, every single day, at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. You win, you play, you win, you get paid. At mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. Learn the same lesson. You think they got it all wrong. We just got
Mitch.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.